T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast featuring Bonte Hill.
This was just embarrassing, Shasky.
Kate Scott.
Joe likes his coffee hot.
And Joe Shasky.
I want to go back to the playoffs!
This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
First Friday, boys. First Friday. We are on the last day of our first week together. And if this is any indication of how things are going to go, well, one, we've got a lot of room to grow. But I'm really excited about the next number of weeks with
Speak for yourself, Kate. Joe Shasky, Bonte Hill.
Good morning, gentlemen. It is the Friday of Rams week. Let's get it going today.
It's also a payday Friday, Kate. A payday Friday.
Oh, I see what Bonte's paying attention to.
Extra happy.
Okay.
Extra happy. I get to reload the fridge, you know, man. Buy me some more Twinkies. But you're right, Kate. It is a football Friday against the LA Rams in a big time game. Sunday night football. Prime time under the lights. I do miss being at the stadium for these type of games. The environment,
yep.
The fandom, mm-hmm. The vibes. But you know what? This is a good test for the 49ers to get back on track, Shasky.
Yeah, and I'm going to miss not doing the pre- and post-game with you this week. Obviously,
that's
with
right.
Our schedules being changed, you know, B, I love you like a brother, and I'm going to totally miss that entire build-up that we have every single week. And then, not the come down, but you know what I mean. We're coming back down the mountain a little after these games.
Okay, you know? On that note, since we've already gone there at 6:02 on a Friday morning, question for you guys, because I am once again, because of a potential power outage where I live over in the East Bay, am in studio in San Francisco today, surrounded by glass and masks and all that stuff. As I'm driving across the Bay Bridge this morning, the car in front of me, and I've wondered this for a long time. I know all of you are going to know what I'm talking about. I believe they're called truck nuts. Truck nuts. Sometimes there's also no. Is this the Central Valley in me coming out? Okay,
well, let
me describe them.
Yeah.
The car in front of
you. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I have no idea what they're called.
Okay, well, I believe after doing some Googling. Bonte wasn't here yet this morning, Stephen, so I had to do it on my own.
Of course.
Wow.
I believe, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're driving sometimes. I've also seen stuffed animals. They hang right below usually the license plate on the back bumper of a car.
Mm-hmm. Like Chucky?
Which I've never understood, the stuffed animal or the Chucky. Really don't understand. As I came to learn this morning, they're called truck nuts. Don't know why I need to see some balls hanging off the back of a truck.
Yeah, that's really odd.
I'm blown away right now. I thought you two, you know, being the men on the program, would know why someone might want those. You guys have never had friends.
A man by gender only. I'm not changing tires. I'm not fixing anything. I'm paying the professionals.
Mr. Blue Collar can't change a tire, please. You better get up under the hood, get the jack. Come on, Chaffee.
No, sir. No.
Thank you, Ricky Ross. Thank
you. I'm disappointed. How can
you
call yourself the butcher boy?
Well, since the guys I work with cannot help me out at all, if any of you out there maybe have a pair of truck nuts, have a friend who has them, a brother-in-law, if anyone can explain to me why you have them, because I'm not sure what the intended reaction is. My reaction is always confusion, as you can tell this morning. So 888-957-9570. If anybody wants to text in to the Chilton Auto Body text line, and just help me out. I'm a little bit confused. 888-957-9570. But let's get back to things. We will obviously get into all of the 49ers stuff this morning. As Steven said, just before we came on this morning, Alex Boone, great interview, great 49ers offensive lineman. Can't think of a better person to really talk to after a couple of difficult weeks for that 49ers O-line. Alex is going to join us at 7. Then the voice of the 49ers, Bay Area guy, J.B. Long, worked with him for a number of years at the Pac-12 Network. I know Joe and J.B. go way back. Looking forward to having him break things down for us at 8 o'clock. Also looking forward to our first ever edition, Bonte, of Genie of the Lamp here on the Friday edition of the Morning Roast, where I think we might have a guest or two joining us during that segment as well as we look ahead to the weekend of football. But first, guys, the Giants fan in me came in this morning trying to decide what I was happier about in the baseball that happened yesterday. Mm. Was I happier that Clayton Kershaw once again was on the losing end of a postseason baseball game, or was I happier that Dusty Baker's Astros have now cut the Rays' lead from 3-0 to 3-2? There's a couple of things to be happy about this morning if you're a Giants fan.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I got a little emotional seeing Dusty Baker hug Carlos Correa. Like, the way he hugged him, the way they were talking to each other, the walk-off, it was just dramatic. This team's got a shot in the Houston Astros, and I know everybody is rooting against them. But there's something about that team. It's just with Dusty Baker. It's like the perfect substitute teacher for that roster. I got a little teary-eyed watching Dusty hug Carlos Correa in a big-time playoff game, one of the best playoff games I've watched in my lifetime. And then Kershaw, it was inevitable, right? Shasky, it was inevitable. He's cruising through five, It's a 1-1 game. Goes back out there for the sixth, and all hell breaks loose for Clayton Kershaw. And now the Dodgers are once again on the brink.
And that's the question. Should he have been allowed to go back out there in the sixth, right? We're seeing so many guys with a quick hook right now, understandably. Openers, starters, closers. Nobody's really what they used to be just a couple years ago. So I was a little bit surprised that they let him go back out there in the sixth.
I mean, the metrics tell you, two times through the lineup, you're good to go. That third time,
exactly,
it's infinitely better for the offense. I mean, there's no other way around it. And B, look, you can like Dusty all you want. That's a cheating-ass organization, and I'm not giving them no love. And I love Dusty Baker, but I'm sorry. Just because he's a nice guy and I like him doesn't mean that he's going to be the meat shield and have me change my opinion on the Houston Astros. Like, I'm so sick of how much they've talked. They're a great team, and they don't shut up, and they've shown no remorse. Bregman, Correa, Springer,
Embrace it.
They're arrogant. They're jerks. Even their bench coaches are trying to start fights with Ramon Laureano.
No,
like,
you're
stay
right
in your lane.
And this is why I was struggling this morning, Joe. I'm glad you brought this up because, Bonte, I know that you were excited for Dusty, and I was contemplating all of that as I drove into the city this morning. Like, love Dusty Baker. Despite what happened in 2002 that none of us will ever forget, things are looking a lot better now in 2020 after three World Series championships and three parades. A lot has changed in 18 years. So I would love for him, after everything he's been through, to win a championship. But then the other side of me, Joe, is right there with you. I've gotten into the A's living in the East Bay the last couple of years as a friend of so many people who are born and raised diehard A's fans that I'm saying, no, the last thing I want is these mouthy Astros to get a chance at another title.
And they're in such denial. Their arrogance about cheating. It's not like that they cheated. It's how they cheated and then how they reacted after being caught and the fact that not one of them was suspended. Ramon Laureano suspended longer than any Houston Astro who cheated and admitted to cheating. They had a systematic setup of cheating. It drives me completely insane. The Red Sox should be punished as well. It's a joke, but the big story, it's the LA Dodgers and the choking. They're the Buffalo Bills of baseball. I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, this is what they are. We bashed the Atlanta Braves during the 90s. At least they won a World Series. The Dodgers will now have 7 consecutive NL West titles. They will have all these trips to the postseason and nothing to hang in the rafters forever or to put on that wall out there at Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine. I just love seeing them choke away. And the Atlanta Braves have I'm going to say this, and people are going to lose it. They have a 1994 Niners swag to them. Ooh. The way they celebrate, the way they dance, the way they got the jewelry just hanging off the jerseys. I mean, Acuna reminds me like he's playing in my men's softball league where you're playing against a team that you absolutely hate. And the guy, before he's even rounding third, he's jumping up and down, talking smack, pointing at people. I love this Braves team, and I hate the Atlanta Braves. So go figure. But beat L.A.
What about Marcell Ozuna taking a selfie, though?
I love him.
That is just, you saw it in the Red Series where he's run halfway down the first baseline. He stops, and I remember I'm watching it live, and I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, I've never seen this before. And then he does it yesterday, rounding third base. He's got people big mad about it. Oh, what is he doing? Why can't he just round the bases? You know what? Take your selfies around third base. Flash your jewelry. Wear your three fat shades. Do all that stuff. I love the swagger. We need more of this in baseball. You got more kids watching now because of the Acunas, Albies, and Ozunas and whatnot. But by the way, the Dodgers, real quick, Kate, them choking. Them choking is so crazy. And they complained about 2017, right? I will give the Astros credit for this in 2017. They won two games at Dodger Stadium. There were those trash cans at Dodger Stadium. They won two road games in a game seven at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers need to shut up and just play and try to win a freaking playoff game. It's on them. Stop choking.
You know what? When we had JP, John Morosi, on from the MLB Network, and he's our MLB Network insider, here on 95.7 The Game the other day, I was blown away by the fact that he said there is a chance, understandably, that Dave Roberts could get some heat if they again win the NL West but don't make it to the World Series. Wow. And win a series. But Joe and Bonte, when he said, but here's the thing, Dave's not actually making the decisions when it comes to deciding when to pull a pitcher, that literally in-game decisions go all the way up the chain. That would be maddening if I was a manager. How would you work under those conditions with micromanaging like that?
Well, I mean, this goes back to Friedman. Friedman needs to be in the post-game pressers then. He needs to be on Zoom in a tiny little box next to Dave Roberts, and every question that Dave Roberts gets, I would point over and look at him, and I'd say, you talk to Friedman. I mean, it's absurd. I'm going to be honest with you. The whole obsession with numbers and everything, it's completely absurd. We've lost our minds. Oh, Dave's a good guy. He keeps falling short. He keeps falling short.
But is it his fault?
That's
is
what I was
fault?
Wondering, Bonte.
So,
right.
What do you
because
mean, is
Farhan,
it his fault?
Farhan and Gabe Kapler are going to go through the same thing. If the lineup card is coming from upstairs, and they're making all the decisions upstairs, if I'm Dave Roberts, I'm like, I'm just a placeholder. I'm just chilling in the clubhouse getting a paycheck. And you look at his salary as well, it doesn't match what he has done. They don't let this guy be a human manager. He's a robot. So how is it all on Dave?
I'm going to tell you. If it's all the numbers, this is the same thing with Kapler. It drives me nuts. If you're going to be numbers driven, then use the numbers. You yank Kershaw. If not, then you're using your gut. Mm-hmm. You're not doing the analytics that you say you're doing. So do you see the disconnect here?
Yep.
It's absurd. Kapler does the same thing.
All right. We're probably going to talk a little bit more baseball after the break as Dusty and the Astros walk it off to make it a 3-2 ALCS game six this afternoon. Kershaw and the Dodgers lose, so they are now a game away from being eliminated again in the NLCS. Y'all know we're going to be talking a ton of 49ers today. Alex Boone coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. J.B. Long, the voice of the Los Angeles Rams, going to join us at 8. And a lot more fun stuff in between all of that. It is the brand new morning show here on 95.7 The Game. Joe Shasky, Bonte Hill. We might have gotten on the L.A. Rams, San Francisco 49ers is an actual rivalry train late last night, Joe. So we will get into all of that. I'm Kate Scott. You're listening to the brand new Morning Roast right here on 95.7 The Game.
One ball, one strike. In the air, center field. Correa's watching. This is back, and it's gone! It's a walk-off home run! Carlos Correa! Astros win!
Carlos told me, you know, before he went up there, he goes, you know, walk off. And I said, go ahead on, man. And then I said a prayer to my dad and my brother. And I said, Lord, please let us walk off, because if not, we got to use Framber. And then we don't have Framber tomorrow. You know, things couldn't have worked out any better.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Morning Roast, everybody. The new morning show here on 95.7 The Game. Lo and Dibs, they've been waking up too early for too damn long. So Dibs now with Steiny and Guru from 10 to 2 here on 95.7 The Game. Then Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Then the Football Hour with Sean Salisbury. And then, of course, Ryan Covey and John Dickinson taking us into the 10 o'clock hour at night. And then we do it all again. And Lorenzo Neal, our NFL insider, he's with Steiny, Dibs, and Guru every Monday for those 4 hours from 10 to 2. And then bouncing around on all the rest of our shows filling us in on everything we need to know about the NFL. And we will obviously get into all of that today. Alex Boone, former 49ers offensive lineman, coming up at 7. The voice of the LA Rams, J.B. Long, joining us at 8. But real quick, guys, just want to kind of put a bow on this baseball conversation we were having before the break. Joe Shasky, Bonte Hill, Kate Scott here with you. And the 5-1-0 response, how I expected a lot of folks would respond when I brought up the fact that I was feeling a little bit happy for Dusty Baker, who we just heard talking about the fact that Carlos Correa called his walk-off shot before hitting it last night, but to pull the Astros within a game of the Tampa Bay Rays in that ALCS. But the 5-10 says, my respect for the morning roast lasted 4 days. It's now ended with that Astros comment about being excited for Dusty Baker. And I understand that a lot of folks are feeling that way because whether they're an A's fan who absolutely hates the Astros or just a baseball fan who doesn't like the fact, Bonte and Joe, that they cheated their way to a World Series title just a couple of years ago. I understand folks who, even if they love a Dusty Baker, can't respect and cheer for the team he's coaching up right now.
You know, Kate, we were arguing, excuse me, as I cough right into the microphone, that's a penalty.
Good radio, good.
As we were basically arguing before the break, it drives me completely insane. My microphone. It drives me completely insane, the analytics stuff, because the analytics people will try to tell you, we're only going to make all of our decisions with removing emotion, looking at the spreadsheet. And then they get into the heat of the game, and they're like just pouring over the spreadsheets, and they're doing all this stuff. And then they come, well, I'm going to make a gut decision here. Well, wait a minute. Like, if you're going to make gut decisions, have a gut decision manager in the dugout. If you're going to make analytical decisions, make analytical decisions. If you're going to blend the two, then tell me you're going to blend the two. But on the front end, there's a reason the GM is getting paid 2 and 3 and 4 times what the manager's making, because they want all the decisions to come from them. I saw this with Farhan and Gabe Kapler this year. It drove me nuts. It was like a buffet cart. Sometimes we'll use the analytics. Sometimes we'll use our gut. Well, hold up. You told me that it's all the analytics. And that's where it's maddening to watch as a Giants fan. If you want to reprogram me and tell me that you're going to go all analytics, then go all analytics. Don't use the gut. If you want to use the gut, you should have kept Bruce Bochy. It's the truth.
It's the Houston Rockets of baseball, right? All these analytics that everybody love, like, oh, Daryl Morey, he's so genius. Oh, they're so smart with these numbers, and they've rigged the game. You got to manage with your gut. And I think that's what Dave Roberts did last night with Kershaw. And by the way, it's Clayton Kershaw. You got to go down with your guy. If I'm going to go
but
down, I'm going to go down
anymore.
With my guy. And I know the track record. I know the track record. But it was a 1-1 game, and he was dealing. He was filthy through those first five. So I get the third time around the lineup. But sometimes the starting pitcher, I always think back to Jordan Zimmermann and the Giants in 2014. Mm. When he pitched into the ninth inning, and Matt Williams took him out after he allowed a runner
Thank
on base.
Goodness.
And it was just like, boy, whew. Sigh of relief. We get to see somebody different because this guy's just got us befuddled there. Sometimes a hitter, they see that starter back on the bump and they're like, man, we just can't touch this guy. And you saw Dusty yesterday pitch with his gut. I loved in that Astros, even though they're an analytics-driven organization, Dusty just went all out there, went with his rookies and said, man, you know what? If Correa doesn't hit this walk-off, we're probably going to get screwed here, so I'm going all in. And you saw that. In just two games yesterday, Dusty goes with his gut. They win the baseball game. They extend the series. Dave Roberts, you know, who knows?
Well,
if he
is
went
he
with
allowed
his gut?
To go with his gut? I think that's the question. And I hear you, Joe, that is it one or the other? But as Bonte was just saying, I think, and this is just for the last couple of years, because it's taken me a long time to come around to respecting any of the stats or analytics because I'm such a huge gut person, because that's how we all grew up making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the mix is the best bet. Like the fact that Dusty did what he did last night. The fact that two nights ago, right, leaving Greinke in just a little bit longer, he went out there. Mm-hmm. Everybody expected him to pull him. And then he said, I saw something in Zach's eye, so I let him finish the inning. And Greinke got it done. So it seems like Dusty has that leeway with the Houston Astros. But it doesn't seem like, again, from what John Morosi told us a couple days ago, that Dave Roberts has that flexibility with the Dodgers.
Yeah, he probably doesn't. But again, if you're going to go down with your strategy. Like, that's the whole thing. And when you don't use the strategy you're telling me in pregame and on the front end, you leave yourself open to the speculation on the back end, right? If you say, hey, I'm analytics-driven, we're going to go with the numbers, we go with the guy who gives us the best opportunity. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, like, barking and complaining that the media and the fan base can do when a decision doesn't go right.
Real quick, Shasky and Kate, I want you to get in on this too, Kate. If Kershaw goes back out there, he deals in a sixth. Or if he pulls Kershaw and the bullpen gives it up, fans are going to say, you should have kept Kershaw out there.
Yeah, there's
no right
answer.
You only allow one run.
Yeah.
So, what, you know, it's almost like, what is it?
Well,
Which one do you want to go down with?
And Joe, you can, you know, obviously argue with this, but the Dodgers have some great relievers, don't they? I mean, everybody's talking about Dustin May, and they have so many other great arms. So I'm forgetting, I think it was the Rays last week. They had their guy dealing. He went the first two or three, and he looked fantastic. And everybody was expecting him to come out the next inning. Nope, didn't see him. And he looked a little ticked off in the dugout because, as you said, Bonte, he was thinking to himself, I was dealing. What the heck are you doing taking me out?
Right.
But that's the strategy. So the team stuck with it, and they won that baseball game.
For a team so driven by analytics, why were they worried about the narrative of getting Kershaw this amazing postseason win down the stretch? You've got
Mr.
Kelly
Dodger.
In the pen.
And look, Mr.
Again,
Dodger.
Okay, but B, he's not one of their best pitchers right now, and it hasn't been for 2 or 3 years. Like, their best pitchers are Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Kelly,
Jansen. Dustin May's
Jansen.
Not better than Kershaw right now. Let's pump the brakes there.
He's
a
more
nice
electric.
Young pitcher.
He's
not
more electric.
Better than Kershaw right now.
In the playoffs, Kershaw is a proven loser.
Yes, but
straight up
past,
loser. And his ERA after the fifth inning, if you're going with the analytics, the ERA after the fifth inning is massive, B.
Okay,
it's totally
it
different the third and fourth time through the lineup for Kershaw specifically. If you're going to be analytics, then use the analytics.
Kershaw this postseason, his ERA was like under one. He was
That's for the whole game.
He had turned the corner. He had turned the corner a little bit. You got to go down with Kershaw.
Has the fact that he's now lost another postseason game endeared him to you as a Giant or A's fan even more? Like, I told you guys earlier in the week that he's one of those players that I hate because he's been such a star for the opposing team that the team I cheer for hates. But the fact that he's never been able to win the big one, I kind of like him even more now.
It's got an A-Rod, Barry Bonds vibe to it. Baseball, unlike the other sports, because basketball, and I know James Harden has fallen short, but he's had great moments also in the playoffs. Baseball is the unique, weird sport where guys can struggle in the playoffs, and it's almost like they can never get out of their own head. Bonds, A-Rod, you've seen it with Kershaw. It's sad, but Clemens, before he became a Yankee,
yeah,
before he became a Blue Jay, had horrible losses to Dave Stewart.
So maybe Kershaw just needs to come to the Giants for a year or two.
Do HGH and then blame it on his wife like Roger Clemens.
Win a ring and then say, all right, see you later. All right, that's going to probably do it for our Kershaw talk this morning. We'll get into the 49ers when we come back on the game. Here's what's coming up. In addition to that, brought to you by Safeway, former 49ers All-Pro offensive lineman Alex Boone going to join us at 7 o'clock and really looking forward to asking him what he's seen, right, guys, from the 49ers offensive line the past few weeks and if what he has seen is fixable by Sunday night. Voice of the LA Rams, J.B. Long, coming up at 8 to take us inside what's working for the 4-1 Rams coming in this week for Safeway's BOGO sale because you can save big on Breyers Ice Cream and Waterfront Bistro. 2-pound bag shrimp, eat or buy one, get one free. Stock up on your favorite General Mills cereal. Selected varieties are buy two, get three free. Safeway, come in and explore. And I'm glad the text line has answered my truck nuts question. We will get to that after the break as well. You're listening to the brand new Morning Roast. It is a Friday of Rams week here on 95.7 The Game.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Just a few days away now. Sunday night football, 49ers-Rams at Levi's Stadium. Is this finally the week that the 49ers pick up that first home win of the year and turn things around in a big way in the process? Or, guys, do the Rams keep rolling, improve to 5-1, and we all meet again on Monday morning wondering, wow, what the heck is going on with our San Francisco 49ers? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Morning, everybody. Morning roast with you. Joe, the Butcher Boy, Shasky, Bonte Hill, and Kate Scott, and a number of 49ers spoke to the media yesterday. And I got to tell you guys, I'm feeling a little fired up. Carmen Policy got us fired up towards the end of yesterday's show. Just saying, it is Rams week. I know it may not have the same cachet as it did in the 80s and 90s, and we got into this with Bonte yesterday, right, Joe? Bonte. And a lot of people agreed with Bonte, and I understand it, and I tend to feel that way as well, say that the Seahawks over the past decade or so have been much more of a 49ers rival than the LA Rams. But my counter to that, Bonte, is it's never too late to renew a rivalry.
No doubt.
And I feel like 49ers Rams is one of those rivalries that it will ebb and flow like all longtime rivalries do, but especially when you've got a couple of young coaches who have a lot of similarities, a couple of young quarterbacks who have a lot of similarities, it just seems like the rivalry is starting to get going again, starting to bubble and brew and roast a little bit.
No doubt. And look, where I was coming from was, look, this rivalry to me, it dissipated. It was the free ticket game. This was the game, the Rams and Niners, where people gave away their tickets. I can't tell you how many Rams-Niners games I attended due to free tickets. You couldn't give those things away because the Rams or the Niners were just so bad. And Isaac Bruce, again, I was listening to the interview again when he was like, oh, you know, it was great to see Ram fans take over Northern California in Candlestick Park. That never damn happened. That never happened, Isaac Bruce. I wish we had more time with them. But look, this rivalry, it's something there now. It's starting to build up, and you look back to last year in that first game at the L.A. Coliseum, and we talked about this a lot, Shasky, and Kate, you heard us talking about this as well, where Niner fans went down to the L.A. Memorial Coliseum and took it over. And that was a game where it was like, where are the Niners at? Where's the bar set? Are they really this good? Are they really 4-0? Are they a legit 4-0? And they went down to L.A. and just punished the Rams. The Rams in that game didn't convert a third down. I mean, Goff had like 73 or 78 yards passing. He was atrocious. The D-line got after him. There was a goal line stand. And I think that's where maybe the rivalry maybe went up another notch. It's not quite on the level of Seattle. Not quite on the level of Green Bay Packers. But it's something there now when it comes to L.A., San Francisco. And I'll admit that. I'll go ahead and concede that, Shasky. The rivalry is starting to pick it up a little bit. It is starting to pick up a little bit.
The only reason the rivalry with Seattle even exists is because of Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. That's it. As soon as those two are gone, there will be no hatred. Nobody's like, oh, I hate Kurt Warner, the running back from the 1980s. No. Oh, Brian Bosworth. There's not years and generations of scars amongst 49er fan bases. Like, I'm sorry, that just doesn't exist. In fact, the Great Northwest and San Francisco have a lot in common. The tech hub back and forth, a lot of people moving from one area to the other. Like, again, erase Russ and Pete Carroll, and the Seattle rivalry will completely dissipate.
Oh, you're crazy.
No, it will.
You're
okay,
insane.
Because Pete Carroll's a Marin guy, and he's got local ties, and he shunned the 49ers. The Rams thing has been here since the
40s. The 12s up there.
You didn't say that when Sean annoying. Alexander was there. You didn't say that when Matt Hasselbeck was there.
Yes, I couldn't stand him because the Niners couldn't beat him.
Bonte, I think there is a little something to it. I think it is one of those. It may be a decade, a two-decade-long rivalry. And that's not, again, similar to what we were just saying about the Rams. That's not to say that it won't be reignited in the future as well after Russ and Pete leave. It's definitely going to have that because it will have existed at some point. But as Joe was saying, this one goes back forever. And because of that, and now that, again, both teams are good at the same time, right? NFC champions one year, then the next year the 49ers win the NFC championship. And now, well, a lot of people yesterday were saying, well, now the Rams are a year ahead of the 49ers because of just that. They were in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They've had more time to learn and figure things out and go through their 9-7 season last year. So let's get into some Robert Saleh sound, shall we? George Kittle also spoke to the media and had a number of great things to say. Going to get into his interview in just a bit. But Robert Saleh first, and get into the similarities between the 49ers and the Rams. That was the first question that the 49ers defensive coordinator was asked. Do these Rams, and obviously specifically the Rams offense, remind him of what the 49ers offense runs, specifically what they ran last year?
There's definitely some similarities. I think Sean's done such a fantastic job with regards to building his own identity within the system. They're so precise in what they do. It seems simple because you only see a couple of formations, but they've got little nuances within everything they do, whether it's run game, pass game, boot, play action, drop back, all of it. They do such a nice job of creating little wrinkles that keep you guessing, all within a system that just seems so simple for their players because they execute at such a high level. They're very, very precise in what they do. They're always moving forward, and they create very advantageous situations for themselves, which allows them to get the ball out of Goff's hands very quickly. So kudos to Sean. I think he's fantastic, and they're definitely much improved from a year ago.
He's
that,
right.
That voice. Can we just talk about his voice, first of all? Like, voices you don't expect from somebody, right?
He's got
like
a radio voice, huh?
You see him, like, screaming and yelling and chest bumping and headbutting guys on the sideline, and that is not the voice I expect from a Robert Saleh.
Because you know what, Kate? He builds it up. He builds it up, which my guy Joe Shasky will learn. He builds it up where, you know, it's a Wednesday, it's a Thursday. You're not going to be hooting and hollering. He knows what's at stake. He knows what time it is. He's in lab mode. He's in his little lab. He's breaking down the film. He's breaking it down with Armstrong & Company, and he knows what's going on here. By the way, he's right. McVay and company have been very precise. They're little tight bunch formations. Whenever they go trips, whenever they go double tight, They are rolling right now with their offense. So they've tweaked it a little bit. Their offensive line is a little better, and they're balanced, which helps out any quarterback in the NFL, especially Jared Goff.
Yeah, what they do different from the 49ers is they pound the ball down the middle of their offensive line more. And they also get Jared Goff in these deep play-action boots, which gives him a better platform to throw from. They know they don't have a great offensive line, and they've done a really good job establishing the run and then moving that pocket out on the edges to give him opportunities to step into his throws. There's a lot that Kyle Shanahan could learn from Sean McVay, to be honest with you, when it comes to setting his quarterback up for success. Well, I mean that.
Yeah, well, and that was, I mean, in the preseason, Sean McVay said that he wanted to use his running backs more like Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers were using theirs. So it is the give and take. It's the back and forth right now between these coaches. As we all know, they have a history together. They're young guns in the NFL. All right, let's talk about Emmanuel Mosley, because we got even better news. He was limited at practice on Wednesday, and he was a full go in practice yesterday. Thank goodness. And here's what Robert Saleh had to say on the return of his corner, Mosley, and what it's going to mean to this 49ers D.
First and foremost, he's got such a great mindset with regards to being fearless. He does not care who he's going against. He does not care the situation. There's no situation too big for him. He's got such a great mental toughness to him and a great mindset to him. He plays with unbelievable technique and strength at the line of scrimmage. He does not panic at the catch point. He doesn't panic at the top of the routes. So all of it, you know, from a mindset standpoint and just a personality standpoint, he's got no panic, no fear, and great technique. And then on top of it, you get into the mental aspect with regards to understanding route combinations and understanding plays. You got yourself one heck of a corner.
They're going to be in some trouble this week, though. I mean, K-1 not being there, no Sherman not being there. The way that they motion,
48. You got 48.
The way they motion their wide receivers, this is going to be a really tough week. Again, I'm optimistic. I am. I'm stubbornly optimistic on the 49ers. But again, when you take a step back and you look at their offense, they just got a lot of weapons, and they got a lot of guys that can do a lot of things to our limited cornerbacks, and that's where I think that they have a big advantage this week.
Is there going to be an advantage, though, in some way for the 49ers defense because of what Saleh said, and because, Bonte and Joe, what we've been talking about, the fact that this is similar to the offense that they go up against in practice every day?
B, you don't think Eric Armstead has an advantage this week? I mean, I look at that offensive line.
They've played better this year.
They're not great. I mean, they're not that great.
They started to figure it out late last season when they went on the run and almost made the playoffs. We forget that. In that game at Levi Stadium, Jared Goff didn't get sacked. He had his way in that football game with some of the actions you talked about, Chasky, getting on the edge, hitting Tyler Higbee, hitting Gerald Everett, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp. And that's the special thing about this offense. Like, their receivers run block. They are nasty in a run game. They get after you. And then they punk you when they run their route. So the more and more I keep thinking about this game, I feel like this is going to be on Jimmy and the offense again to outscore the LA. Like, they literally have to go win a shootout, because I don't have a lot of confidence in this defense right now. I don't have a lot of confidence in the defensive line applying pressure to the Rams, and I don't have a lot of confidence in them stopping their run game.
Man.
I do. I think Eric Armstead's going to have a big game.
I'm expecting from Bonte on this Friday morning.
I have a lot of confidence in Eric Armstead.
I got to keep it a buck.
He ate them up last year in the game at LA. He was really, really, really good in that game. They were really exhausted coming into that Week 15, Week 16 matchup last year against the Rams. They had like so many emotional games in a row right before that game. That game was super emotional, and the Rams jumped out to a big lead. So that kind of takes away some of the pass rush that you would expect in a more close game. So, again, I'm looking at Kinlaw, too. Like, I think Kinlaw, the rookie, needs to have a game today. Kerry Hyder Jr. just graded out as the fourth best PFF edge rusher. Yep. Now, I don't know how much you want to put into that,
yeah,
B. I know you're rolling your eyes.
It's the quarterback ratings of stats. Pro Football Focus will tell you that the 49ers offensive line has been very, very good. You see those grades there, and I'm like, what?
Well, let's ask Alex Boone at 7. Well,
yeah,
we can talk to him at 7. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And we can get his opinion on the 49er offensive line as someone who's in the trenches.
Because
sometimes it can look ugly, but you think you played a really good game.
Exactly. All right. One more from Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. Just on the message that he's trying to give to his guys this week. 2-3 team going up against the 4-1 Rams on Sunday Night Football.
We're trying to get better every single day. Every once in a while, even the greatest ones get punched in the mouth. I still believe that this is a top 10 defensive unit, top 5 if we're on our stuff, and it doesn't change on who's on the football field. We're a fantastic group. It's got a fantastic mindset, and one game doesn't define what I think is an unbelievable defensive unit. So for those guys to understand and recognize what they've done and what they've been able to accomplish in this league is not defined by one game is you just talk to each individual by themselves and they'll tell you the exact same thing. They're not shook at all. They're ready to get back on the football field and continue to prove how good they are.
We talked about it a little bit at the end of the show yesterday, guys. What if, and I know this sounds crazy because of what we've seen from the 49ers the first 5 weeks of the season. I know that they're hurt, but Emmanuel Mosley is coming back. That is going to be, hopefully, a huge help. Brian Allen last week. Emmanuel Mosley. I know, hopefully. Hopefully Armstead has a great game. There is a chance that this could be the week, Bonte, right? I know it sounds crazy. I get it. We haven't seen it yet, but under the lights, if I was somebody who's 0-3 at home, I would be pissed off going into Sunday Night Football against a division team, a team that's 4-1 on the year. Everybody's talking about Aaron Donald. I'm going to want to make some press for myself under the lights on Sunday night.
No doubt. And you're wearing the throwback jerseys. You're wearing the all-white throwbacks, which looks so damn sweet under the lights. Cannot wait to see them in that get-up. Hopefully the Rams don't wear anything crazy. But look, Armstead had number 99 Buckner next to him last year, and D Ford and Bosa. That helps a lot. Those guys aren't there this week, unfortunately, for the 49ers. I do like Kinlaw, and I like Hyder Jr., but who's the other edge rush? Who else is going to be inside? DJ Jones, maybe? Mosley does help, because I remember last year in the L.A. game, early on in that football game where Mosley, don't forget the Rams, they go straight down the field, right? It was like 7 straight run plays. They go up 7-0. Niners come back on a good drive. Jimmy G with a couple third down conversions. And Mosley in that game in the first quarter
He
put Cooper Kupp on his neck. I mean, just literally him up and dipped him. I got up and said, who is this number 41? This guy. Tone setter. He can tackle, so that does help. But they need Kwan and they need Sherman in this game because with all those exotic like plays that McVay runs, communication's going to be it's key in every game, but in this game when you got subs in and the Rams are doing all these crossing routes and play action, I worry about the communication in the secondary breaking down like it did in week 1 against Arizona.
We both know Sherman is an upgrade over whoever they're going to play. I'm not here saying he's not needed. They desperately need Richard Sherman. But don't you think that this is a bad matchup for Richard Sherman? Like, if you just look at what the Rams want to do, quick stuff, quick hitters, quick routes over the middle, deep crossing routes, all of those things. Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, physically, this is a bad matchup for him. He struggles against teams that try to, you know, get him to stretch the field vertically and left to right.
Well, you know what? Sherman shouldn't play the rest of the year, then, because I'm looking at Seattle.
I'm just saying there's a bad matchup.
I need Sherman on the field. Look, he doesn't have the greatest speed. There's some matchups that's not going to favor Richard Sherman, no doubt about it. But I need his wisdom on that football field.
That's fair.
He recognizes plays. He recognizes routes. And his mind makes up for some of his physical limitations. That's why I need Sherman on the football field. He's better than any quarter outside of K.Y. Williams on his football team.
I got some bad news, Bonte, as Joe said. Breaking news, Richard Sherman is not going to be playing this weekend. So who is the 49ers defender who you need to step up? Joe said he wants to see a big game from Eric Armstead. What about you? Who are you wanting to see step
Witherspoon.
Up?
You know what? Dante Whitner called you out in front of everybody in the Bay Area. Oof. And called you S-O-F-T.
Wow! S-O-F-T.
Called you soft. He questioned his manhood on the football field. So you know what? Hello, Witherspoon, in a contract year as a grown-ass man, this is the time to look at Dante Whitner in the face after the game and said, who's soft? Who's soft? Did you see that performance? It's time for Witherspoon to step up. I want him to step up after Dante Whitner called him out.
Yeah, I got two guys. Obviously, Fred Warner is one, and he's not one of my guys, but he made the biggest play of the year last year, in my opinion, as far as changing momentum in a singular game with that pick six right before halftime against the Rams late in the season. But it's two guys. I'm going to go Kinlaw. Kinlaw, you got to bring it today. You need to be able to fill the void of DeForest Buckner and try to get some pressure and stuff the run. Stuffing the run is crucial. And then Jason Verrett. Like, I need Jason Verrett to have a big time game. We haven't really talked a lot about him. They haven't really targeted him. I know he's graded out really well, but they haven't thrown his way. I guarantee Sean McVay is going to throw at him at some point, and they're going to test him. So I need Jason Verrett to step up and have another really nice game. And if this secondary can create one turnover, oh my gosh, it would be just like a shot in the arm that they desperately need.
I mean, think about that. We think about all the big games that the 49ers have played over the years, and it's always that one big turnover, that interception, that strip sack, that fumble recovery. I mean, the 49ers haven't had that yet this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
What a time to help turn things around. That is the shot in the arm of energy. Even if you don't have your top guys, even if your offense is struggling, if the defense can get something like that, maybe it's a Jason Verrett, maybe it's a Fred Warner, maybe it's an Eric Armstead on Sunday night.
So who are you picking, Kate? Who's the person that you're looking at and you're saying, you got to make a play for me?
I think it's the young guy, Javon Kinlaw.
I feel like now is
the time. And it could be just getting a hand up at the line, getting a deflection, and then the ball just flutters down to Fred Warner, and Warner takes off for a pick six. But I just feel like Javon has had some flashes over the first couple of weeks. And then I heard him yesterday talking to the media. Obviously a young guy, very quiet. Everybody else's media sessions go 10, 15 minutes. And Javon's was like 4 minutes long. Because, right, he wants to let his play do the talking. He's like, yes, uh-huh, yep, I really feel like. But then somebody asked him, like, who are you leaning on? You're only 5 games into your NFL career. You're 2-3. It's not easy. You came onto this great defense, and now there's a lot of injuries, and you're struggling and stuff. But who is the dude that you're leaning on to try to get better? And this is what Javon had to say.
I've been leaning on Eric a lot. Love getting some feedback from him and just love watching film with him and just him giving me little keys and little things to help me out, you know, to help my my game out a lot, you know. So definitely been leaning on Eric a lot.
So I'm hoping that your guy, Eric Shasky, has a great game, has a couple of sacks, does something big. Bonte, I'm hoping that your guys do something big, and I'm just hoping Javon does a little something, right? When you're a rook, just give me a little something. Not everybody's going to be Nick Bosa, but let's just get a tip. Let's just get a deflection at the line on a big third down or lead to an interception, and just, can you imagine when a rook does something like that, this stadium that is not going to have any fans in it will fake explode, and all of us will be screaming at our TVs at home.
Is this a must-win for the 49ers?
Yes.
Is this a got-to-have-it game? Can you lose this game and still make a run? Or is this a must win? Because I felt like we said that 3 weeks in a row with the 49ers,
and they're
1-2.
B, it's an automatically yes, yes, yes. You absolutely have to win this game. Like, yeah, there's first off, emotion is on the line. Mm-hmm. The season is on the line. If we're playing the numbers game, trying to make the playoffs, like all of that's in there. And then their psyche, you know, so that they can stay together as a unit and still listen to what Robert Saleh and Kyle Shanahan are going to say in front of these guys. Like, you know how it is, man. You can't lose faith when you're on the ship. You know, you're going to have mutiny at some point if they don't trust in you, Captain Jack. I mean, they need this thing. They need this one bad. And an emotional game on Sunday Night Football against a team like the Rams, that kind of a win, no game is worth two games. But it can feel bigger of a win than those Jets and Giants wins, which they absolutely need for their own psyche.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I know we say this, Bonte, as you were just saying. Right. We say it's a must-win every week in the NFL, but I think the difference mentally, more than anything, do I think that even if they lose on Sunday night, they can figure out a way to get back into it? Of course. But I think mentally, going to New England at 3-3 with a big Sunday night win, getting the fact that you haven't won at home off your back, hopefully finding some rhythm, because they're not going to beat the Rams if their offense can't find a rhythm, right? They're not going to beat them with this defense that they have right now. The defense can help, but as you said, Bonte, they're going to need their offense to step up and make some big plays. I think it would be massive if they could be 3-3 versus 2-4 going across the country, starting Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks the next week, and then Green Bay and New Orleans. Like, this is a juggernaut of a group of teams in the middle of the season, and I think mentally it would just help them reset and be like, whole new season, guys. Let's just wipe the slate clean. We're 0-0 again, and let's just move forward and see what we can do. Crazy stuff has happened in the league this year. Let's move forward.
No doubt. And it keeps them in the NFC West race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keeps them right there afloat with the L.A. Rams for a wild card spot, possibly. Seattle, obviously, undefeated. They're perfect. But you have two games left against Seattle to make up ground there. So, look, is it a must win? Surprisingly, I'm going to say no, fellas. I'm going to say no, Kate and Shasky. Wow. I do think they need to win this game for their psyche. But say if they lose like a 33 or 30 game, I think it could take some positivities out of that. You could take some positive stuff out of that.
Moral victory?
The offense, this team needs anything they can get. All right?
Yeah.
After getting blown out by Miami, they need anything to be positive. And if Jimmy has a good game, if their running game is effective, if the offensive line plays better, you're going to get reinforcements back on the defensive side of the football. It could help. Look, 2-4 is not good. Not good at all going to New England and facing Belichick. But I think you can take some positives out of it if it is a close last-second loss to the L.A. Rams.
Bonte, you know I love you. I double-dog dare you to ask Alex Boone if a moral victory in the NFL is a thing.
No, I know it's not a thing. I know it's not a thing.
Well, maybe we'll ask him because we have Alex in just a few minutes. It is the Friday edition of the Morning Roast, the brand-new morning show here on 95.7 The Game. Bonte Hill, Joe the Butcher Boy, Shasky, and Kate Scott, and guess who? Alex Boone joins us after this, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.